Hey, 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 it's B-Rad Celebrity Hairstylist here, your host of the Hairstylist Empowerment Podcast, a platform that allows the voices of the beauty industry to empower with the spoken word. Thank you for joining us on today's show. Just voted number 2 spot in the top 5 and the top 10 best Canadian celebrity podcast, and also number 2 in the top 25 must listen to hairstylist podcasts of 2024. And we're currently over 62,000. And thanks to you on over 50 plus podcast platforms, including Amazon Music, Audible, and Spotify. So welcome to today's episode of the Hairstylist Empowerment Podcast. Our guest today, our guest today brings over 30 years of invaluable experience to the table. As a highly respected figure in the hairdressing industry, Camilla has worn many multiple hats, serving the hairdresser, salon owner, licensed teacher, educator, and color product developer for several renowned manufacturers. Throughout her illustrious career, Camilla has had the privilege of sharing her expertise with hairdressers, colorists, teachers, students, educators, and salespeople across the Nordic countries and Europe. Her passion for color and dedication to education have culminated in the creation of the groundbreaking concept, Become a Better Colorist. In today's episode, we shed light on her journey, emphasizing the importance of making color easy, clear, and fun. With her wealth of knowledge and infectious enthusiasm, we invite listeners to embark on the transformative experience where they can unlock the secrets to becoming exceptional colorists. So before we get started, I just want to clean house a little bit. So if you're joining us, we are live today. So I am using StreamYard. So before leaving your comment, you want to make sure that you grant access to StreamYard permission, so then we can see your name online and we'll bring you up and we'll celebrate you, which we love to do. So if you're watching live, make sure you put live in the comments. And if you're watching the replay, type replay in the comments. So if you have any questions throughout this podcast, please write your questions in the comment section. Say hi in the comments where you're from. Let us know again if you're watching live or the replay. So without further ado, we're going to jump right in and dive deep in today's show and bring up our wonderful, much anticipated guest with her wonderful book about becoming a better hair colorist. So let's welcome Camilla Rostrand. So hi. Welcome. So it's so exciting having you here on the podcast. So we'll just get started by, if you can tell our audience a little bit about kind of a little bit about your background and kind of a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. If I start with my background as a hairdresser, I was 7 years when I decided to be a hairdresser. And at that time, when I was in school, it's very hard to coming in to be a hairdresser. It was more harder to be a hairdresser than a doctor. So the day I was coming into the hairdressing school was one of the best thing for me. I was so happy. That was what I want to do. And I was in school, and I opened my first salon when I was 19. So 88, I opened my first salon. And I thought I was born hairdresser, and I thought I should die hairdresser. But my journey was a little different. So I had my salon for 14 years, and then I start teaching first like a technician people or educator. But then I start teaching in school. So 2002, I put my salon down, and I start teaching on a hairdresser school, a public hairdresser school. So I like it very much. But the first 2 weeks, I was crying.
Oh, no.
I was going home, and I was thinking, how stupid can I be to do this when I can have a good life? Because it was very hard with the students and all that, that was so different from the school and be a hairdresser. But after 2 weeks, I had the students in my heart. So I took my teacher license. I was in university for 1.5 years and took the license. And I working as a teacher for 10 years and 7 years for public school. And then I opened my own People Point School in Malmö. So I had my own People Point School for 3 years. And that was one of the thing I'm very proud over, because in Sweden, everyone can open a People Point, everyone can open a school, hairdressing school, but not everyone can open a People Point School. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was a ticket here. You are good on your work. But when I had my school for 3 years, I had a dream, and that dream was to educate and inspire hairdresser. So it was 2 Swedish company who asked me to start working for them. So I choose one, and I was there 6 years. I was working there as a technician, head of technician and education manager. And I start working too with product develop. And that was one of the best time of my life. I was in the laboratory and I was mixing color and all that. So I decided me, I want to end my career with the product develop, but I'm not there yet. So I was working there six years, and then I start working for another company, and I should working with them. Product develop, but the life gave me, do you know the comb, like YS Park comb?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I start working with that too. So and that was so interest to working with. So a whole year I was going around in Sweden and educate teacher and hairdresser and students about combs and brush and tools. And I got a lot of passion of that. But 2019, that was the year I should be 50. And I had a 7-long-year dream. So I said to myself, if you don't do your dream now, you're never going to do your dream. So I decided to quit my job and take all my savings money and go for my dream and writing the book. So since 2019, I working in my own company, and I doing education for hairdresser students. Not students anymore. I have do it, but I don't do it more. I just doing hairdresser, teacher, salesperson, and educators.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. You're such a wealth of knowledge. I want to kind of backtrack a little bit before we get too far ahead. So, because for a lot of people, you know, I mean, just graduating school, even being an entrepreneur and opening up your own salon, that's a big thing for people. So how did you find it with running a salon, hiring staff, and then two, deciding to do a school? That's a whole other, you know, undertaking in itself. And that must have been a fairly big, ambitious project for you.
Yeah, if I'm going to be honest, so I don't close my salon just because I want it. I get sick. I was outburned and I got fibromyalgia. So they said to me, I couldn't work more as a teacher. So that was one of the biggest cries in my life. You know, I thought I should be a hairdresser for the rest of my life. I really enjoy every day I was going to my client and my salon and all that, but I had so much pain in my body, so I couldn't hold a comb in my hand. So they said to me, I need to quit, and I didn't know what I should do. I was bitter. I was not happy. I was home for 3 months, but I had 2 sisters who was teacher, but not hairdresser teacher. And I was thinking, how hard can it be to be a teacher? So, I'm thinking, I'm going to be a teacher.
Yeah.
But it was harder than I thought. But mm-hmm. it was much better than I thought, too. So it, I was just coming into a hairdresser school and try to working and see how it was. And then I stayed for 10 years to be a teacher. So I was working 7 years for public school. And then mm-hmm. they offered me to open my own Paper Point school and be one of the owner and all that. Yes. So, yeah, an entrepreneur I am. I say, yes, of course, I can do it.
Exactly. And with having your school, too, especially a Pivot Point school, you know, getting the students, it's not just they're there for a week. They have a commitment of, you know, of time to be there. And as a school owner, you're responsible for that, too, to take them from knowing nothing to getting ready for their exam. So you're from Sweden. So what is the process in Sweden for someone who wants to become a hairdresser?
Yeah, that is a little bit different from U.S. and all that. We are going 9 years in ground school. Everyone mm-hmm. needs to go for 9 years.
Wow.
And after, we call it gymnasium, but I think it's more like high school or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you can choose if you want to read hairdressing or you want to be... in economic, or if you want to work with car or something. So you choose what you want to be, and then you need to go 3 years. So you are 16 when you start hairdressing school.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are like 19, 20 when you are finished for hairdressing school. But after you're going 3 years, you must doing 3,000 hours in a salon, like a trainee or something. And then we're doing the test, and then we have our license to be a hairdresser. But you can, in US, you need to have a license, but in Sweden, you don't need a license to work as a hairdresser. You can just start working. But if you're older than 20 years, you can't go in the public school, then you need to buy your own education.
Yes.
So when I had my People Point school, I have adults who was paying for the school. And that was a big difference, because in Sweden, you don't need to pay for your school. We don't pay for going to school.
Okay. Yeah.
We have free food, and we have a very good secure net mm-hmm. in Sweden. So when you don't pay for your school, you have students who was not, they don't have passion. They was just there because they need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was much better to have my People Point school. Yeah. I had more motivated people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So talking about motivation and passion, can you share with us the inspiration behind writing Become a Better Colorist, and what motivated you to focus on this particular topic? Why a book on color as opposed to a book on braiding or a book on bridal or a book on, you know, hair cutting? Yeah.
I will go back a little when mm-hmm. I was starting my career as a hairdresser. I was not good on hair color. I was so bad. But I thought I was so good. And, you know, I was so cocky and I'm the best and all that. So every time I had a color line, I say, oh, this color line is not good. You know, that is not working. So I took another one. And it's not working with that either. So I say, oh, this is not good either. So every color line I try, I say, oh, it's so bad. So one day I said to myself, it cannot be the color line who is so bad. It must be me and my knowledge.
Hmm.
So I decided me to be one of the best on color in Sweden. But We are artists, we hairdresser, and many of us have hard time to read and understand and all that. And that was the same for me. You know, the old color line used so strange word and complicated word, and I didn't understand nothing. So I tried to break it down so it should be clear and easy so I could understand color. And I do my mistake. And every time I do my mistake, I get better and better and better. And I remember when I was working for a Swedish company, I was in the laboratory with the chemist, and one of the product manager, he's, and I remember we should doing a dark brown color. And he said to me, if you can do it on the first try, I'm going to be impressed. You can't say that to me because I'm a competitor, you know.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, I will do it at the first try. And I had the color wheel on the wall, and I was looking and thinking, okay, how can I have a brown color, a dark brown color? What should I put in so I have brown color? Mm-hmm. And I do it. I was lucky. I do it on the first try. But I remember I look at the chemist and say, now I am the best in Sweden on color because I understand color. It was so like my world was open. I understand how color working. So that is how I try to be better and better because I understand it's not the color line is wrong. It's the knowledge. So yeah. When I get teacher, I have a hard time to understand color. My students have a hard time to understand color. So for me, I had in my mind, color should be clear, easy, and fun. And we know that is a huge challenge in our industry. Mm-hmm. So that was my vision and my goal to do the book. And I saw when I was a teacher, the book we had in school was from early 80s, from 81. Mm-hmm. And the truth yesterday is not the truth today, and the truth today is not going to be the truth in the future. So that is why I decided me, and that was a dream to do a new book because I saw we really, really need a book. And for me was the thing to do it so clear it could be, so it was easy to read and understand and fun to work with. So that is the concept around become a better colorist, is it should be clear, easy, and fun. And that is how I'm building up my education too, so everyone can understand. And that is one thing people say to me, it's so easy to understand when I'm teaching, and I'm so happy for that because that is the only thing I want. It should be clear, easy, and fun.
Exactly. And the book itself, it's amazing. It's so easy to read and to, you know, kind of hone your skills and stuff like that. But there's a lot of misconceptions or challenges that aspiring colorists often face in their journey. What would be some of those misconceptions that new from school think about color that aren't necessarily true?
I don't know. Take the question again.
Okay. So if somebody says you always need 20 volume to color hair, is that true?
Yeah. No, that is not true. There is so many myths about ammonia free, which developer you should covering gray hair with. So in Become a Better Colorist, the book, I have just saying how it's work. And why? Because when we learn color today, we only get the truth and the knowledge the color line want us to know. Mm-hmm. So if you work with a color line who only have ammonia Of course they say ammonia is the best. And the color line who working with ammonia free color, of course they say ammonia free color is the best. And they have right both, but you know, every color line has strength and a weakness can be a strength, and a strength can be a weakness. So I just tell them what the peroxide doing and what the ammonia doing and what the ammonia free doing. So because you can use everything is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as you're using it. But too, for some new ones like novice colorists, there's a lot of mistakes they often make. So how do they overcome them? So some might be targeting the wrong color, not knowing how to formulate properly, things like that. Or I think with a lot of colorists too, it's knowing what's the undertone, right, of a strand. So when they're choosing color, I think they often make mistakes that way just because they're not formulating properly. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. And one thing why the undertone is so hard, because if you take 10 color lines in 6.0 or 6 natural, if you're coloring level 6 on 10 color lines, mm-hmm. it's going to be different. Some is lighter and some is darker. Mm-hmm. And we have hairdresser know level 6, and we learn what undertone we have in 6. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have right 6, then is the undertone going to be a different thing? So that is why it's a little hard to work with color, because that is not the same. So you need to learn your color line, what you're working with. But the problem mm-hmm. is, now I'm saying something stupid, but I don't mean it so hard. But mm-hmm. the technician people, the educator for the color line, they don't know so much about the color and or the different from other, because they just mm-hmm. learn how they're going to work with that color line. Mm-hmm. So that is the unique with Become a Better Colorist and what I'm doing. I learn color, and I learn how they can see and learn their color line and how they can work and how they can working out of the box and understand, okay, my color line is more pigment rich or mm-hmm. less pigment rich. I educate Kevin Murphy's all technician people for a whole year. And there was so much they didn't know about the color. Mm-hmm. So that is what I think is very important when you're working with color, to understand the why. Why are my color more pigment rich? And how can I use that as a strength and not a weakness? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, exactly. So there are always some key principles and techniques for aspiring colorists. What should they focus on to improve their craft? So if somebody is already a colorist, what keys do you think they should focus on to be a better colorist? Would that be like education, taking your class, buying your book, like getting more into, or certain things? Should they learn to specialize in blondes, or learn to specialize in, you know, taking light to dark, or things like that? Like, are those areas that people should really, as I say, and I think you've already mentioned it already, knowing the color line that you're using and know it well. Does it have a warm tone to it? Does it have a cool tone to it? You know, is it neutral? Like, those are things that a lot of people don't really understand when they're coloring. And they're like, why did that color turn out warm? It doesn't look warm on the swatch, but in the color itself, it's mixed with X amount of parts of blue, yellow, and red, right? So I guess it depends on which company, because like you said, with the 6N, which is in some color lines is a dark blonde, then in other lines, it could appear lighter, could appear darker. I think it's knowing those. But if somebody's in color, what's the one thing you think they should really focus on as a colorist?
I never stop learning more, because so many, so much stuck how we're working with color in 80s and 90s. And never, in Sweden, I can, but I have met in the whole world. We think we are so good because we're doing good results.
Yes.
And, yeah. And as long as we're doing good results, that's fine. You can do as you all the time doing, but you have all the same results. But when you want to do something else, or if you have some problem, it's maybe not working as you thought, then you need the knowledge.
Yes.
And not the knowledge I learned 18, 19, 2000. It's so, I wrote my book 2019. And it's coming out 2020. And when I translate for American English, I updated the book. So the book has only been out for 2 years. Then I need to update it because it's coming new all the time. So what was true before is not the truth today. So the thing I, as a colorist, is I need to learn all the time, and it's coming new things. Even if my color line, my color company, not doing something new, the coming's new on the market, and now the newest now, it's like demi color.
Yes.
You know, like eco shades. Eco shades was it's coming first, and now you have liquid gloss, you have the demi gloss. There is a lot of gloss demi color, but the thing is, there is a big difference from the different. We thought everyone is the same, but they have, some have a different alkaline than another. Some is more pigment than other. And if I can understand everything, then it's easier for me to choose what I should work with. And I know how I can work with the color out of the box, because sometimes I need it to work out of the box.
And so that's a thing. And that's a thing, too, that a lot of people don't realize. Like, I find with a lot of European companies, they tend to be stronger pigmented. So they're usually double pigmented, triple pigmented. And then other ones, which are more kind of sheer, they may not have as much pigment in them. It really makes a big difference. And sometimes then your formula might be different. Like, say you're a 6N in a regular color line and 6N in a European color line, you may apply differently or have to go up a level up or a level down to achieve the 6N for that client, depending on what base they are and what your target is and what you're looking for. And I think that's one of the biggest things for colorists is really, or just hairstylists in general, really understand and take the training. So you know that color line really well. What will this color do? How will it react on the client's hair? You know, do they have previous color on there? Do they have box color on there? Do they have natural, you know, growth or regrowth? Because that's going to change. Because if you have a natural regrowth and you have a previously pigmented box color on the mid shaft ends, you're going to get two different colors. You can't, and color doesn't live color, so you can't put a 9N on a 4 and expect you're going to be 9N.
No.
You know what I mean?
And actually, even if you have a virgin hair, you can't take the same color from the bottom to the end, because in the bottom, you have a, do you say heat soon? You have a heat
So what we call them hot roots. So there's hot more roots. Heat at the scalps. So it gives you usually a warmer tone at the roots. It's much brighter and warmer at the roots usually than it is in the mid shaft and the ends.
And the ends are more porousy. And we know the porousy is eating up a lot of warm tone. So you can't put the same from the bottom to the roots if you want to have an equal color. Yes. And now it's a very popular to work with a color who is natural for a couple of years ago, it was popular to work with a coal tone, coal natural.
Yes.
But for me, it doesn't matter if the color have a warm tone or it have a cold tone or it's natural. As long as I know how I'm going to work with that.
Yes.
So when companies say to me, oh, we our color is so good, but because our color building on natural tone. And I say, okay, why is that good? They can't say it because they don't know why. Because they hear people say it's a they're doing a hype and say, oh, it's so good to doing natural color. But for me, if you have a color who is natural, building on natural tone, then I need to work on one way of that. If I have a color who building on cold tone, I need to work on another way with that. So for me, it doesn't matter what the color building on, as long as I know what's happened when I coloring with that.
Yes. So,
and you say before, we have a other color here, other pigment color here, but that's not really true either, because they don't do so much different for us here. But we need to think a little different, because for many, now we don't have thin hair. You know, in Scandinavian, you say, oh, we have a blonde, thin hair. But that's not true. We have more medium hair now. We don't have so much people who has thin, because we are more mixed now. So we have more medium thick hair. So it's not about the difference is if you have thin, thick, or medium hair. So you must learn what is the rules about medium hair and what is the rules about thick hair and thin hair. And we talk about how pigment rich the color is. And I have educated a lot of technician people. And I say, okay, how pigment rich are your color? Are they more or less or more pigment? They don't know, because they don't know what should we compare to.
Yes.
When you say my color is more pigment rich, maybe you compare what you work in before, but what should we really, really compare our color with? It's about the right level and the undertone.
Yes.
I have create a level finder. There are 77, six is a seven. And why I say that is because seven has more orange, yellow undertone, but six has more orange red. So it's a you must compare to that scale, so you know if my color is more pigment rich, then my seven is more like six. So that is the thing. You must know what you compare to. You can't say, oh, my color is pigment rich. To what? Do you understand?
My
English is not super good, but I hope you can.
We can understand you. Yeah. So if anybody in the audience has any questions, make sure you say hi, put it in the comments. We'll bring you up. We're enjoying this conversation on color, because it's one thing for a lot of stylists that we do get some training in school, and when we get out there, but some people don't really fully understand, you know, color, the process of color, how to balance, even the color wheel itself, because I think the color wheel can be, you know, overwhelming for some people. But I think the color wheel is so important, because if you don't really know primary colors, you know, secondary colors, tertiary colors, and what opposites are, like violet with gold or yellow, right? Orange with blue, red with green, that are going to neutralize each other. But you also have to know if the undertone has orange in it, has red in it. Well, you need a blue, you know, you need a blue-green to counteract that, right?
Yeah, so we forgot that in school we learned as primary color, we learned secondary, but we forgot 30-year color. Mm-hmm. So that is very important to learn. But it's so fun when you say this, because when I had my education, mm-hmm. and we're talking about how is a good color, because people say, oh, my color is the best. And another say, oh, no, my color is the best. And sometimes I can see on Facebook, someone maybe ask like this, which color is the best? Is Kai Tang mm-hmm. or O&M the best? Who yes. should I choose? But that is two good color both. Mm-hmm. But they are different. They have different alkaline. They are different with the pigment and all that. So you can't say this color is much better than the other. Mm-hmm. It's more about what should I work with? What will I'm working with? But one thing everyone say a good color is throat to tone. Do you know what I mean with throat to tone?
I do, yes.
Yep. Yeah. And actually, all color is throat to tone, because the color can only do what the chemist has mm-hmm. formulated to. Yes. But then next, the problem is when the company putting the color into the color wheel, if you put the color wrong in the color wheel, then the color is not true to tone.
Mm-hmm.
And I have fixed two color wheel because that was wrong in the color wheel. The numbers was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the thing, when the color is not true to tone, it's not the color is the problem. It's the problem where people have put it on the color wheel. Mm-hmm. And when they put the numbers and letters of the color. So many times we hairdresser, and that is one thing why it's hard to working with a color, because we need to learn the nuance. So after a long time, you know, okay, I know this nuance. I know how it's the undertone and all that. But it's take a long time to learn. So if we have right color wheel, then it's so mm-hmm. much easier to work with a color.
Exactly. And that wouldn't matter if it's a cream-based color, if it's a liquid-based color, a gel-based color. Anything like that. They all have the same properties, knowing the undertone. But you're exactly right when you said all the color lines are good. And I see this in a lot of groups, is people like, I'm changing color lines. Which one's the best? Well, the thing is, I think you should look at, were you using that color line properly? Were you mixing it properly? Because a lot of people like to not necessarily measure or weigh. They like to throw a little squirt in here and then let's throw some developer in there. And if the measurements are off, that also makes a big difference too, with how much coverage they're going to get or sheer, you know, it's going to be. But as I say, I think it's people say they like the color line. Number one, it's because what works best for them that they have mastered. And it also, I think, does this color line give you the outcome and the results that you need for your clientele?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
When I have my education, we talk about color and all that. And I say, for us, to change color for a hairdresser, it's a little like change work.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you changing work? It start with misunderstanding.
Yeah.
No, not misunderstanding. You don't happy with something. You don't happy with what you earn. Maybe you're not happy with your boss.
Yes.
And that is the same with color. The color can be so good. On my salon, there my daughter and our employer working. We was working with retin, and retin is a very, very good color. But mm-hmm. it was too expensive for us now, when the world is what it is. So we need to change, because not for the color was bad. We changed because we need something more.
A better price point.
Yeah. Because for retin, They are more expensive little because they have a fantastic education around mm-hmm. the color, and you pay for that. Mm-hmm. But we, and I said to my daughter, we can educate our employer for ourselves. So yes. That was not necessary for us. So when you change color, if we go back, why you don't, when you change work, you're mm-hmm. not happy for something.
Yes.
And that is the same with color. Maybe you change color because there is something you're not happy with. Mm-hmm. But there are so many who working on the same work and is not happy. And why are they not changed the work? Because they know what they have. They don't know what they got. And they feel safe. And that mm-hmm. is the same with us hairdresser. When we're working with color, we feel safe. But maybe you're not happy what we have, but we feel safe. Mm-hmm. But when we change, if we change color line, it's not about the color today. It's more about the concept. Can you have the safe with the company, with education or mm-hmm. support, or the price? Can the concept around the color, is that cheaper? Or mm-hmm. have they? Some people like to work with a big system with a lot mm-hmm. of nuance. Yes. Some like a system with a more or less. Nuance. Mm-hmm. So today it's more about how is the concept around the color? Mm-hmm. Because all color is good today. And I need to think, okay, this is my client. I do a lot of, we say, balayage, and mm-hmm. I neutralize a lot.
Yes.
Then maybe I don't should work with the color line who's a very, very pigment rich. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should work in with a company who has more or less pigment. But if you're working with a lot of client who is gray hair, and then maybe I should work with the color line who has more pigment rich color and stronger alkaline, so mm-hmm. I got a better covering. But if I know everything about color, then it's much easier to choose color line. And I will tell you a little secret. when I was starting, I hope not so many Swedish hairdressers are listening now. When I started working for a Swedish company and help them with the color, they said to me, can you take the support? And I said, of course I can. So mm-hmm. I got the support phone. And yes. they call me and they need a recipe, and I help them. And mm-hmm. sometimes they ask me, how many years have you worked with this color? Mm-hmm. And I say, a little time. Mm-hmm. But actually, I have never worked with that color before. Mm-hmm. I have never doing a client with the color mm-hmm. line. Mm-hmm. It was not wrong. Every time they get a recipe or I help them, it's not get wrong. But that is the thing. I know the color line. I had doing my test, and I had the color wheel and all that. So mm-hmm. it's easy for me because I understand so much color. So it was easy to me to help people. So you more you can switch color lines. And that is why it was so necessary for me to do the book. So mm-hmm. we have all knowledge about color and not a system. So you can understand color and not system.
Yes, because once you have the foundation, I think you can apply it to all color lines.
Yeah.
Because color is color regardless of the company. You're going to always have the same principles that go into play. And it's not like this has to be done this way. Obviously, use the manufacturer's directions, because some colors require you to shampoo first. Some you apply it dry. Some are under heat. Some aren't. So you want to make sure that if it says it's 1:1, 1:2, 1:1.5, that you're mixing it properly. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes a lot of stylists make, is the incorrect mixing of the product. And that's why they either don't like it or they love it, because they've mixed it correctly, or they just throw it in a bowl. And then, depending on how much coverage you want and what level of developer that you're choosing. Yeah. Is it 10 volume, 20 volume, obviously 30 or 40? You know what I mean? That's going to make a different impact on the outcome, on the color and the scalp. Because obviously no one would ever put a 40 volume lightener on somebody's scalp.
Yeah.
Never. Like, and, even and, if you, you, like, go ahead. Yeah, even if you're doing like a platinum and, card.
I was educate a whole sales team for one of the Nordic biggest supplier just in February. And I had them 2 days and we was talking about covering, and he said to me, which color have the best covering? And I say, every color line, if we don't talking about DMI, because DMI should not covering gray hair. Yeah. No. But it doesn't matter which color line, every color line can cover in gray hair. If you mix the color on right way or choose right color. So even if you have a color line who is more or less pigment rich and you think, oh, this is not good covering, if you take a higher, darker level, if you take a darker level, and then you, if you say, I want a 6, but my 6 is not covering. But if you take 4 or 3, then it's going to covering. And if you have problem because you don't can open the hair shaft enough, if you're working with ammonia-free color, because ammonia-free color can sometimes be hard to open the hair shaft, then you can mix like two parts color and one part developer, if you change instead of 1:1 or 1:2, so you can change and then you have a better covering. And if you wash the hair before you cover it in gray hair, you're going to have an even better covering. So all color can cover gray hair if you do it on right way.
Yes, and that makes a big difference, because a lot of people don't know that by changing the amount of developer, like what part to what part, really does have an impact on the outcome, right? Where it's going to give you more or not. But as a technical, so being technically proficient, how do you balance being technical with getting your color formulations right and creative expression in color? So if somebody wants to be totally creative, so do you believe that once you know the foundations, like the technical parts of color, you can be totally creative?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. And I don't remember who's saying this, but there is who's saying, you must know the rules to break the rules. I think, was that Picasso or something?
It's Picasso, yes.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you must know the rules and then you can break it. And I all the time break rules because I like it. I need to know the rules. So every time when I there is something, I say, okay, tell me my rules. So I know. And that is so fun when I was talking to the girl who doing my bookkeeping in US, because I have a company in US. So, and I have one in here in Sweden.
Yes.
And I know the rules here. And I said to her, tell me the rules. I know if I can break some of them. So I like that. So for color, is that the same? If you know the rules, then you can break it. Yes. And we are talking that too in my education. I can take an example. You want a red color. You really want a red color. And you think your color is not so red you want. And the company say, you should mix 1:1 with 10 ball, because you are doing dark to dark. Tone to tone. But if you change a little and take the double of color, so 2 part color and 1 part developer with 20 vol, then you're going to have a more red color, because you have more pigment, more of the red pigment, and then you have a little up, light it up a little. And even if they say you're going to have 30 minutes develop time, if you change it to 40, then you even have a better red color. So you can break the rules if you know the rules and why they're saying 1-to-1 with 10 ball. And it, you must know what is the double, what is double color mix with color doing? And what is the 20 wall doing? So you can be very creative if you know the rules.
Yeah, and a lot of people tend to sometimes, they're on a tight schedule, and the color should be to get that rich red beyond 40 minutes, but they only have 30 minutes, you know, like that sort of thing. But so it can be competitive and demanding. So how do you maintain like all the color work? So do you have a quick tip on like burnout? So how can they avoid burnout when color, being a colorist, is so demanding?
I don't know how it is in use, but I have heard a little. But here in Sweden, is hairdresser is so bad to take the money. We are very bad to the payment.
Okay.
So when I was growing up, I was learn, and that was one thing why I get outburned, because I was learned to cut more people and have a cheaper price. And that is much better to take more money and doing more or less coloring.
Yeah, we're working some, work harder, not smarter.
Yeah, exactly.
Or sorry, no, work smarter, yeah, not harder.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
That was the other.
That is one thing. So when I was open my salon with my daughter, and the first half year was very tough before we had a client, because we opened a salon, they will not know so much people. So it take a time, and my daughter say, oh, should we take more or less price? And I say, no, never. We need to take the time, because if you start to take more or less price, then it's harder to rise the price. So that is my thing, to not be outburn, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, because you don't want to be burnt out. And yes, it's great to have a lot of clientele, but that's the thing. With a lower price, I mean, it has to balance with what your other costs are, because that's a big thing. A lot of group, how much you charge for this, how much? But for everybody, it's different. Where you are, the pricing structure might be different. What your color price is, it might be different. So you have to take all those things into consideration when you're doing your number crunching. You have to know where your business, what is enough to charge that covers your, you know, your costs. Plus, you're also in a business, so you also want to make enough that you can also survive as well outside of work. But do you find any trends coming for color? Do you predict any trends with color? Are people going natural? They're going to go more fashion. You know, people are going back to their natural.
I think it's more like peach and warm fall now. I can see the trend of that. But I can see more too. Before, we're doing a lot, like 100 package of foil highlights. And we have started now to just doing a little, because people has not so much money. So we have started doing just a less. We're doing some techniques, so they look like they have 100 of foil, but we're just doing 1/3 of.
Exactly, which is much easier for people too. Then it allows them then saying, my price is this, and they're like, okay, sorry, I'll wait. You have another alternative where they can still get it, but still looks like a full, you know, whether it's a semi, whether it's a halo, whether it's a money piece in the front, whether it's a couple of face framing lights. Those are always a great way to introduce people into color, you know, that wouldn't normally even have it either. They never thought of themselves, you know, being lighter or having a couple of little pieces weaved in, you know, that they can, that would kind of soften their features, bring light to their face. things like that. But those that are interested in pursuing a career as a colorist, what advice would you offer to help them succeed in the industry? So I think I already know the answer you're going to give. Obviously, the biggest one is education. So buy your book, which I think people should do, be a better color. Yeah. But you also teach a class as well, like a two-day class. Can you tell us about your two-day and what people learn in that two-day?
Actually, it's a concept. So we have we have actually free education with 2 days. So if we start with the book is the fact of color. Okay. And number one, it's how you work with the fact practical. Mm-hmm. How can you work with the fact practical? So I know the why. Why are we using 10 wool for sometimes when we're covering gray hair? When are we using 20 wool to covering gray hair? And how we can see color, and it's a lot of basic, but when I say basic, it feel like, oh, I can the basic, but it's how you can work in with the basic out of the box a little, and we're doing an understand color. We talk about the pigment rich color and all that. Mm-hmm. What is the difference of ammonia and MIA and AMP? That is what we're talking a lot in the first one. And we do a lot of laboratory experiment. And in number two, there are we working more to understand the difference of the color line and the different of 6, 10, or 20 wool. Mm-hmm. What is the difference? Because in Sweden, in Europe, we say percent, 3% and 6%. And some places say 10 wool and 20 wool. What is the difference of 3% and 10 wool? That is what we're working a lot. Mm-hmm. We're doing experiment. We coloring swatch hair swatch, and they learn about their own color system too. They bring some color with them so we can understand how their color line is. And the third one is more about to formulate a recipe, because when I'm working as a technician and I'm working with support, the biggest thing was they want a recipe. They call me and say, oh, I need a recipe. But a recipe is not worth nothing if I don't have the same starting point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I want to learn how you can do your own recipe and how you can formulate it, your color, and not only have one recipe, to understand what's inside the color. What the tone in the color, and how can I mix it?
Exactly.
Exactly. It's building. You must go number one before you go number two, and number two before you go number three, because it's a red line.
Yes. So exactly. And so you have some shows coming up. So if people wanted to see you live, where do you have classes coming up? What shows do you have coming up? If you'd like to let us know.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Pennsylvania Expo Hair Show, I think it's called.
The Seven Springs, Mountain Resort there. So when is that? That comes up May, I believe, 19th and 20th?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm going to have two classes on Sunday and two classes on Monday. And one class is about, the name is Become a Better Colorist. We're talking about different things, how you can see color, what is the difference of ammonia and ammonia-free color and that thing. But the other one, it's more the secret behind the gray covering, because gray covering is the thing most of the hairdressers are struggling with.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a tough thing for a lot of hairstylists, I think, is be able to cover, especially stubborn gray or resistant gray, and knowing how to do it properly.
Yeah, so that is, we're going to talk about gray hair. How can I cover gray hair better? And what is gray hair? Mm-hmm. And why is gray hair so hard to covering?
Yes.
So that is what we're going to talk about in Pennsylvania show.
Yeah, and if people want to grab a ticket, they can go to www.swantraining.com. They can go on there, grab their tickets, and check that out. It's a great show. I think there's a lot of educators, a lot of vendors, and the price is great to go and get. I think there's 100 classes, something like that, that people can choose from, plus all the vendors and that sort of thing as well. So as we kind of wrap up, is there anybody you would like to give a shout out to?
Take that one. What does
so,
that mean?
So a shout out. So if there's somebody that's really inspired you, somebody that you want to mention, somebody like, hey, it could be anybody. It could be your daughter, it could be a friend, it could be somebody you work with, it could be a mentor. You know, anybody you want to give a shout out to and say, hey, I'm sending this person some recognition.
That was hard because I don't know so many in U.S.
Well, it could be anybody. It could even be in Sweden. It could be anywhere.
Who should I say? There is one I really who is my this guy. Mm-hmm. He's the one of the reason I'm here, and his name is Joachim Roos, and he working around the whole world. And Joachim Roos, he's working for People Point International, and he is an amazing guy, and he's an amazing person, and that is one I think you can check up because he is so amazing, that guy, Joachim Roos.
Yeah, that's wonderful to kind of know. So with that shout out, it was great. So where can people connect with you? So if they wanted to go to Instagram or they wanted to catch you, where can people find you if they want to follow you or message you and find out more?
They can be, my Instagram is become a better colorist. And my Facebook is become a better colorist too. And we have a web page. It's become a better colorist.
And the book behind you, it's called Become a Better Colorist. Which is amazing with branding because people only have the one name to remember. So whatever platform they go on, just put in Become a Better Colorist and you'll find.
They'll find you. Should we give them a good thing?
If you like to, so anybody listening, our guest has graciously offered something for you, but only for the people that are watching. So I'll let you go ahead and share with them what you would like to impart.
And this is very special because this is the first time you can have my book so good price. But I really like, and I'm so happy you invited me to your podcast. And my book, you can buy my book on becomeabettercolorist.com. But you must go into, it's saying if you are from North America or you must hit the bottom, because we have a special, one page is for purchasing the book in Europe and North America. Yeah. And they can go for colormetruecorp.com too. They come in immediately in there. But the easiest is if they email me.
Yes.
Camilla@becomeabettercolorist.com. They have a discount. So they can buy the book for $39.99 and the regular price is $90.
Yeah, and that's incredible. And what languages does it come in?
It's coming in American English, but we have it on Swedish, of course. And we have Danish, Norwegian, and we have it Finnish. And we have start translate the book for Spanish too. And next, after we're doing on Spanish, we're going to start to do it on French too. So I have already started that project now, so we can have the book on Spanish and French too. But if they want to buy the book, they can send me your email, and I give them a discount code, and then can have the book for $39.99.
Yeah, and that's incredible. So you're getting it almost a third, two-thirds less than what you would normally pay. So I would like grab it as soon as you can, because you'll probably have it as a limited offer. So people don't email you right away. It's going to be done. And otherwise they can go to the show at Seven Springs, grab a book from there, you know, if they miss, but we hope they haven't. And then as we wrap up, I'll get you to give us a nugget of gold. But first, today's episode has been brought to you by Beauty Industry Cruises, powerful education in beautiful destinations. The new events are announced with cruises from Miami, Vancouver, New York, Port Canaveral, Florida, Galveston, Texas, Amsterdam, Athens, the UK, and Jacksonville. So you can go to www.beautyindustrycruises.com to check those out. But first, we'll watch a little video. That looks exciting. Education and being at sea and connecting and forming, you know, your vibe is your tribe, the motion of the ocean, all that kind of stuff as well. But I want to say thank you for being a guest on today's show. So the very last thing I'm going to ask you is, as we wrap up, what's a nugget of gold you would like to leave our audience with? And this could be about anything.
My gold or...
A nugget of gold is like a lesson or a piece of advice or like something like that, you know, that kind of will empower their day.
Yeah, I would say you can never be better than your master. So if you want to be the best, look at people who is the best. It's better than you. And so you can be even better, because that is how I doing. I try to find people who can grow me and all that. So find people who is better than you are, and if you want to be even better.
Exactly.
That is my advice, and that is how I living and on. And I all the time try to find people who inspire me and can grow me.
Well, and that's exactly it, because if you're not growing, you're dying. And there's also a saying too, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
You
can always learn. You can always learn from someone. So on that note, so remember everybody to get up, dress up, show up wonderfully and powerfully, and I'll see you next time.